the existing land use definitions to provide more clarity, taking out any that had overlap so that they were, so the overlapping definitions were confusing, or separating out unique uses within some kind of broader definitions. And we also added new modern definitions to reflect new uses that we're seeing increasing today and may have a need to accommodate in Atascadero in the future. So in general, the intent was to retain how uses are allowed today for each zoning district, but make kind of minor changes to implement general plan policy. So a few changes of note are identified here and on the next few slides. Blue text means that the definition is a new use, that this wasn't a definition that existed in the code before. And changes are shown in track changes on the right side of the table to show where an allowed use might be changed. So here on this table, an A means it's an allowed use. CUP means that a conditional use permit's required. AUP means that an administrative use permit would be required, which can be processed by staff. So for example, here we heard in previous sessions with council that there was a need to allow kennels in town. And so because this use functions better in industrial and heavier commercial areas than perhaps say in a mixed use area, we've added the allowance here in all of the commercial and industrial zoning districts with a CUP. And the CUP really allows for some additional site-specific standards to be incorporated conditions to address noise and site suitability. We've added animal grooming as a new use, kind of separating that piece out and noting that that's allowed throughout since there's no overnight boarding associated with that. Looking at assembly uses, so there's public assembly. This can be, you know, a banquet hall, a variety of different things. We have three new types of public assembly identified in the zoning code. An entertainment facility. It's not listed here in this because we're not proposing any changes. Religious facilities and sports facilities, where you're like a spectator sport. Here you might notice some nuance and changes for consistency with federal law about religious uses. Best practice is to show that where assembly uses are allowed, religious assembly uses are allowed. So you'll see some changes that parallel that. General plan policy also really encourages the streamlining of uses that are going to enhance vitality, economic development. And so to that end, a number of uses were added as allowed, including new definitions for new kinds of things like a commercial kitchen, and that could be a catering kitchen or a ghost kitchen. We've added broadcasting studios allowances, indoor commercial recreation like a trampoline place, and allowing it a bar or tavern to come in more easily as an allowed use in the commercial zones instead of a CUP. And then we've separated out some other uses that might need a little bit more oversight, like outdoor commercial recreation. And we've also separated out other things like car washes from vehicle repair, because they have very different kinds of needs that can be addressed through sites, through specific standards for that type of use. So rather than requiring a CUP or an AUP for that type of use, we'll be adding in some specific standards related to that use in the zoning code. On the next slide. There's a lag. So some other changes to note, new uses like battery energy storage systems, that was previously not identified in the land use definitions as an allowed use. So it would seem like it was not allowed at all. So we want to make it clear that this use is a defined use, so when somebody is looking it up, they know if it is allowed or if it's not. And so these uses would be allowed with a CUP in the industrial zoning district. With regard to fitness facilities, so these are gyms and yoga studios. They used to be kind of hidden under a definition called amusement services. So that always kind of stumped folks when they were looking for that. And so we've pulled that out to make it really clear. And for smaller gyms, to make them an allowed use, and only larger gyms where you would apply a CUP. In the CI zone, a number of uses are proposed to change slightly to really meet the intent of that zoning district, facilitating uses that really fit that vibe, like nurseries with an AUP instead of a CUP, which is a more streamlined process. And allowing other uses that weren't mentioned or allowed in that area, like a hotel. Next slide. In general, the use changes shown here are really proposed to facilitate a variety of different uses as allowed uses or requiring an AUP instead of a CUP, really targeting, streamlining and making the types of uses that we want to see be able to come into the community more easily through a streamlined process. And at the same time, targeting some of that more intense industrial vehicle repair pieces into the more industrial zoning districts, and then more service and retail in the commercial zoning districts. So I'd like to pause here for questions and discussion, and we do have kind of a bifurcation of the questions and discussion. So I'd like to start with the first part, focusing in on any land use definitions that you'd like to discuss, and then looking at the use tables just for the CS and the I zones, and then we can break and then talk about the remaining two zoning districts.
Okay, thank you. Could you call up just any one of the pages on the table you just showed? Because I wanted to ask a question before we begin asking other questions. There you go. So to make sure I follow this, so because we've created some new zoning definitions here, if like on this top one, that simply means it was a C, like under CI, drive-through sales and services did require a CUP, we're changing that to AUP.
Exactly.
But you go down to like fitness facility, or no, I'm sorry, no, down to fuel dealer propane, it says the CUP is crossed out and now it has two blue dashes. Is that to say it's not at all an allowed use in CI? What does that mean, that?
Yes, so that is accurate. So what we did was where uses, especially in the CI zone, where we're really trying to create that space for, maker uses,
That's
the
okay.
kind
I
of
don't want an explanation as to why. I just want to make sure I'm reading the chart correctly, so that if we're going, it was a CUP, now it's two blue dashes. What
That
does that
means that
mean?
it is not an allowed use
It
anymore,
is no
correct?
longer, it is not an allowed use in that area. So then you go
Correct.
down to like libraries and museums. There was a red line, which means it was not allowed, but we're saying now it isn't allowed.
Correct.
Okay, because I want to make sure I'm reading. And for everybody else that they understand and reading the chart correctly. So, okay, the way we had this set up was to kind of first talk about definitions. So I'm going to defer to my colleagues, starting Councilmember Funk on my right, regarding the definitions themselves, which there's several pages of in the staff report for the public who is not looking at an agenda in
Okay,
detail.
I have marked most of my things in the usages.
Oh, and I do know that, council members have had a chance to ask, some questions regarding this to staff prior to the meeting, so we don't need to go over all of them. But if there's something you think is important or would like to see changed, then on the definition, that would be what we're interested in right here.
Could you clarify the difference between art as a studio and art as a manufacturing process? Because it looks like there is some reference to art in under manufacturing.
We're trying to look that one up. I don't recall on that one.
It's under S for studio and M for manufacturing. I was not looking for art under manufacturing.
That is a good point. And the studio one, that was kind of a late add. We wanted to kind of make sure that that one was clear. So we might want to, clean that one up and take it out of the manufacturing part and make it clear under the other part.
One assume that like manufacturing might be like sculptures, where you're welding pieces of metal together or something versus I'm painting a piece of canvas in a small studio.
Yeah, and I think some of these uses might still have some level of overlap, because then it lets staff kind of have discretion of scale of use and where that might be appropriate. I'm sure in the CI zone, both would be permissible, whereas the CI zone would have more of a manufacturing allowance. And if somebody wanted to do a pottery studio downtown, that would be okay because we would understand that size and scale would put them in this definition instead.
Okay, so there's some questions of whether those might be combined. Okay, and then what's the scale of activity that you're envisioning under electrical generation and storage facility? Because that some of those, like, you know, a battery plant like Morro Bay was looking at, that's like a 600 megawatt operation that can power 500,000 homes for several hours. And other kinds of usages that say, you know, that might support a high-speed electric vehicle charging station for, you know, several cars or you know, a small fleet, or that might support a manufacturing process to give them really clean, steady power. You know, that might be, you know, the equivalent of, you know, 100 electric pickup trucks parking at Vons. So can we get some idea of the scale that we're talking about here?
I'd be happy to speak to this. So, and I think this was something some of the staff at 3CE, our power company, had some questions about, and there were some questions that were raised by others who spun this up a little bit. And so I do want to speak clearly to this, and I have spoke with the staff of 3CE. So what this is, and I think we have to remember, we're talking about these are allowed in the industrial area. So, and what this is a primary battery storage facility, much like you'd see in Napomo or other places, or a very small version of what was being proposed in Morro Bay, for the storage electricity to be maintained for sale in the marketplace for other uses. So that would be basically the big, large kind of sea container batteries placed in a spot connected to the grid where power is being stored, and that would be the sole purpose of that. So those are not being banned in this proposal. They're allowed with CUP in the industrial zone. As you think about the CIC and the commercial areas, you can ask, wonder a question, does someone want their pottery place or their clothing store next to a large battery storage facility? I think we think there's some question about that in today's environment. But more so, these are 1 and 2 acre parcels. They're not very large. And so we didn't believe that was an appropriate use in this area. And that's why we're suggesting they not be allowed, except for the industrial zone. Now, that said, that's what this definition is. This is for large battery scale things. This is not for a use that's accessory to a business. So for example, if we had a high-tech business that's doing precision manufacturing and they have lasers and they want to use, and they need very consistent, very clean power, and on their 2 or 3 acre parcel, they want to put a half acre of a large battery that has fire suppression and other things to power their use, that would be allowed. That is accessory to the business. If a couple businesses wanted to chain together and have a battery on someone's property for the use of those 3 or 4 businesses, we want those businesses. We want to encourage them. That would be allowed. That would be accessory to the business use. And so I want to make that very clear. That is not what this addresses. This addresses a smaller version of Morro Bay or what's in Napomo. And we don't believe that's consistent with the commercial area, nor do we believe it economically pencils out. Now, that said, if 3CE got into microgrids and micro batteries and something.
We're just in definitions, right?
Yeah, but so, I'm trying to clarify what this is.
I think you've answered the question on the definition.
Okay.
Because I don't want to get too far into where we have an excluded member about the desirability of.
I was only going to add, Mayor, that a definition, should a project in the future come at a scale we can't understand today, right, it could always be changed through a donut zone text amendment.
Exactly. But I mean, the key thing is that the definition here is for one that's exclusively a generating thing, as opposed to, it does not include in this definition the ancillary uses for somebody else, as you well described. So I just want to say you and save us from getting a council member too far into a discussion that they're not going to be able to participate. So I want to avoid discussing the desirability here. We're of each of these, we're just talking about the definition themselves. And I thank you for that clarification. I think you did a good job of clarifying the definition.
And that'll take care of my questions. Okay. Definitions.
Okay, we'll move on. Mayor Pro Tem Darris, any questions or comments, or not comments, we'll save that for after public comment, but any questions regarding that definitions?
Yeah, just one. There's a suggestion in the staff report on page 18 that to add a definition for a commercial or commissary kitchen, because it's in there and it's sort of blended together with commercial kitchen. What would the difference be, and why would we need to do that?
I think the intent of that was that using commissary kitchen in the same, meaning the same thing as a commercial kitchen. So that would all fall under the same kind of definition, you know, like a ghost kitchen or a commercial kitchen that is like a catering business kitchen. Those would all fall under the same kind of type of use where there is, it's not a restaurant with sit down uses. All would be kind of for pickup.
Okay. Yeah. Cause commercial kitchen as it shows in the grid is that it's allowed in all four zoning districts. So commissary wouldn't be any different from that. Okay. That's really the only question. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Councilmember Peake, any questions on definitions?
Not definitions specifically.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I have under retail restricted, we say stores and shops selling products that may have a blighting or a deteriorating effect upon the surrounding area may need to be dispersed to minimize their adverse impact. We mentioned specifically smoking, tobacco, vaping products. I wondered about liquor stores, only because in some places, a concentration of them is considered a negative thing. We just not bother because they're so limited in terms of the number of licenses available. It's not realistically ever a problem here.
We do sort of leave that to ABC in terms of how they regulate that density and how they license that. So that hasn't been determined to be, in terms of our local zoning, a blighted zoning. Sure. Certainly a comment we can take if council so chooses to explore that.
Wondered why, because that's kind of a class considered, like in bigger cities or something, that's kind of considered a classic sign of blight. It was a heavy concentration of liquor stores. So, okay. All right. Thank you. I have no further questions. Councilmember Funk, do you have an additional?
Yeah. One quick follow-up on the electricity generation and storage. There's a mention in that definition that this does not include solar panels or other accessory electrical generation that is accessory to an approved residential use. Could that definition be expanded to include residential or commercial use?
Yes, and I was just telling staff to make that change. So it says land use. Thank you.
Good catch. Okay, with that, we'll proceed out to public comment. And this is comment on the definitions that are contained in the staff report.
Thank you, Council. Jeff Oslin. Definition, when you say storage or a way to handle electrical, does that also include these micro nuclear power plants as well? And how is that taken into account? That's my only question. Thank you.
Okay, any other member of the public wishing to comment? Please approach.
Hello, my name's Lisa Renee Falk, and I'm owner of Glasshead Studio. I teach classes in stained glass, fused glass, and mosaics. And I moved to the area about 7 years ago, and it was really difficult to find space for an art studio. To put it bluntly, I mean, rent is high. So I was pushed out to more of a light industrial area, which I really enjoy because I don't have maybe the looky-loos from the retail and I can kind of get stuff done. But on the flip side of that, I don't have the walk-in traffic like I would if I was downtown. And I have looked at areas down in traffic and Entrada and all that. But like I said, my rent is a lot less in the industrial. So depending on your definition of what you're going to do, you might be pushing out artists who don't have the money to pay rent on a higher retail zoning. So when I saw the list, it said studio work area and not allowing it in the industrial area. And I think that's a big mistake because, you know, it's like we're trying to make a living doing our art, and it's not always, art's not always a priority, which I think it should be. And hopefully we can do that. So I don't know. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else wishing to approach? Okay. Seeing none, we're going to bring it back to council. And on your last comment, I'm going to think that we'll save that for, you know, not part of this definitions piece, but when we talk about what things are allowed in each area, that might be a more appropriate place for us to address that concern. And could you address, could staff address Mr. Oslin's hypothetical question?
Yeah, I don't think this addresses that, and that's why we have zone text amendments, so something in the future could be revisited. I'm not sure that local governments have the power to regulate nuclear devices either.
Well, yeah, certainly not to regulate the devices. But I can't imagine if somebody said, I want to put one of these, they now make them the size of a suitcase or something, and I want to put one in my business. Maybe that's one of those hypotheticals. If it ever comes up, we'll have to address it then. Okay, let's move on. So no further, I think staff heard our questions regarding definitions, maybe just a little clarification on one or two, but we're ready to move on to the next piece of the discussion, which is the tables in terms of allowable uses by districts. So we're going to start with CS, commercial service and industrial, and we'll try to address the question regarding art studios, but we're ready to just go ahead and start with council input on that, correct? No further staff comment. Okay, so we'll go ahead, and I think I started on my right last time. I'll start with council member Peek on my left this time.
Trying to parse my comments.
Okay, we can come back to you if you want to
have some. There's some rows that encompass areas I can't talk about.
Well, remember, we're only talking about CS and
I. Yeah, I understand, but there's some uses that go across them. So I'm trying to be careful of my words. Can you come back to me?
Yeah, I'll come back to you. We'll start then. We'll go to Mayor Pro Tem Daris. Okay, he's going to pass to, we'll go to Councilmember Funk.
Okay, I've got a list. We'll walk through, starting on page 41 and working through in alphabetical order where I have comments. We'll start in the C's with caretaker residence and employee unit. That is currently listed as a CUP use. And you know, I just want to comment in general, I appreciate the staff's attention to how can we simplify this for businesses and make it, while we're protecting the community, my real interest here is to make it easier for people who want to start a business or do a business while maintaining community safety and creating the conditions where businesses are more likely to help each other and less likely to conflict with each other in their uses and customers. So with that in mind, caretaker's residence and employee unit, is there any reason that needs to be a CUP and not an AUP? An administrative use permit, this is a much simpler process where you just go to staff. And you know, there's still noticing and there's still a hearing process, but it's cheaper and quicker and simpler than getting the whole planning commission involved, right?
Correct. I don't believe there's a strong reason that I could give you. I think that's completely at the council's discretion.
Okay. On daycare centers, I see that they're only in these commercial zones listed as an allowed use in commercial, but not in any of the other zones. If a business in one of those zones wanted to have on-site daycare, would they be able to do that as essentially an accessory use?
Accessory use is if it's not a primary use of that property. Are regulated differently, and so yes, they would be able to do that. And so when we talk about these use lists on here, the thought is those are primary land uses where that's the main purpose of that.
Okay, so this allows businesses to add daycare, and of course there's quite a bit of allowance for daycare in the residential areas, as I recall, right?
Yes, and in the mixed-use districts.
And in the mixed-use, both. So, but it does keep us from having commercial daycare center in the middle of an industrial area that then would make it difficult for industrial businesses to move in there.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. The electricity we've covered. Horticultural. In the industrial zone, is there any reason that that couldn't just be an administrative use permit? I mean, I can't see why we need to go to the planning commission to discuss where they're going to put their compost bins and that sort of thing. To distinguish between that one is listed as A/CUP. And so for some unknown reason, sometimes it's allowed by right and sometimes it requires a CUP. And the difference is, oh, I see the difference is holding on the another page. Yeah, okay.
I believe the note there references a significant amount of outdoor storage. And so that's why there's an A in the CUP. The larger the CUP would be if there's a significant amount of outdoor use or storage area.
Yeah. I still think, you know, is there any reason that couldn't be handled in an industrial area? I mean, plants, you know, compost, things like that, that would be appropriate and otherwise look like a park.
So it could be an AUP.
Yeah. Okay. We'll come back to that discussion. Laundromats. Okay. So why are we requiring laundromats or coin-operated laundries to get CUPs in areas where a dry cleaning plant is an allowed use? And could we handle the challenges of laundromats with an administrative use permit instead?
That's certainly an option. We see them as different land uses. And when we talk about dry cleaning, we're talking about a dry cleaning service where you simply go and drop off your clothing and you pick it up a day or two later. It's kind of like a retail land use. Whereas a laundromat is generally where people are staying there for extended periods of time, hours at a time, maybe doing their laundry, folding laundry. There's a lot of washing machines going at one time. There's a lot of activity day and night. And so it has a different kind of effect on its immediate vicinity. That's the only reason they're a little bit different. Where we place them in a category is completely at discretion of council. To be honest, it's not a substantial or obnoxious land use. And so it could fit in a lot of locations. For example, we have a laundromat in our downtown and it's fine.
Yeah. And a laundromat is the place where you go to put in your clothes and then visit the nearby businesses and get snacks and buy a good book or, you know, whatever, see who's got what, you know, get your refill on your, at the refillery or whatever, while your clothes are in the washer. Okay. That takes care of that one. Moving along. So now we get to a studio and creative workshop. That's what I was asking about. You know, I was surprised to see art show up in manufacturing where I didn't see it. But it seems to me that we could just allow artists, could we just allow that as an allowed use in the industrial zone as well? And artists whose business models involve lots of customer interaction and people coming and going all the time, maybe more of a retail type component, would self-select out of the industrial area because it's not going to generate their traffic, whereas somebody who's a sculptor or somebody who's fabricating products in fiberglass or metal or glass has a process that's essentially the same as an auto body repair, and could happily be in that zone. Can we
certainly, if council so chooses, I think that's certainly an option. Let me just give you some feedback on our thoughts on this particular land use. And first of all, too, just to clarify, where Glasshead Studio is now is in a commercial service district. It feels like an industrial zone. And a lot of our commercial service areas, a lot of our innovation flex areas, they feel and look like industrial zones. They essentially are light industrial zones. So we felt that's where the best fit are for these studios that have a roll-up door and there's people coming and going. And maybe they're just solely making things and there's no customers going, and that's fine as well, too. Whereas the industrial zone is this different zone, and we only have a little bit of industrial in our community, and it's out on Traffic Way, it's out on Sycamore, and it's generally these very large properties where you've got very intensive activities going on. Certainly this land use could be allowed there. It's fine. There's no issue with it. There's no compatibility issue with it. But we placed it in those other three districts for that reason, the commercial service, the commercial innovation, the commercial zones, just because that's where they tend to gravitate. That's where they tend to have the best fit. And those are essentially light industrial zones as well.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about that strip of land on Traffic Way, where you have all of those really narrow, really shallow lots between Traffic Way and the railroad. And I'm trying to figure out why would sculptor or somebody doing artwork not fit next to Salty Dog Motorcycles or the upholstery shop or other things that are in that I presume are allowed uses in that industrial area in those smaller properties.
So there is another land use, artisan manufacturing. We're looking at that now. So it kind of overlaps. So maybe it could still be allowed anyway. Actually, it is allowed. So I think that our definitions are kind of overlapping. This one's more about the creative studio, but there's a artisan manufacturing that would fit. So I think it's already taken care of. Maybe we just need to clarify that. Good discussion.
Okay. And then temporary events. Is there any reason that temporary events need to go to the Planning Commission?
So the little footnote on that one is only if they are sort of an extraordinarily long temporary event where they need more than 3 days of setup time and more than 3 days of teardown time in addition to their event days. Doesn't necessarily need to be a conditional use permit, could be administrative use permit, but those longer type events do require some level of conditioning to ensure that the site is vacated and restored properly.
Can you give me an example?
I think we had the circus come to town once and they stayed for 2 weeks or so. And so there was some site restoration that had to happen with that and some traffic control.
The ice rink. Ice skating.
Yeah, the ice rink was here for a long time and didn't feel temporary, but it was.
Okay. Thank you. That'll do me.
Thank you. On that, though, the temporary events, I mean, I understand a longer term thing, but a CUP as opposed to an AUP, I would think that an AUP would be adequate in this. And I want to ask the general question, maybe for the public as well, is that is, you know, A is an allowable use. So I by right as a business wanting to do that function can expect that if I come in this zone and it says A, I can do that. But an administrative use permit means I come and Mr. Dunsmore is the community development director holds a little hearing and he sets kind of the conditions and grants the approval. A CUP means it has to go to the Planning Commission. But in terms of this process, we're looking, as Councilmember Funk noted, and I think others agree, that we want to make doing business easy in Atascadero, generally speaking. But these are, an AUP is appealable, whether it's by, if Mr. Dunsmore said no, the applicant could appeal that to the Planning Commission. And if the Planning Commission says no, an applicant can appeal it to City Council. But by the same token, if you know, Mr. Dunsmore approves something, these are noticed. There's a yellow notice out in the community physically. Neighbors could appeal an AUP approval. So if Mr. Dunsmore said yes, and all the neighbors go, what do you mean you allowed a fireworks display or, I don't know, something, a dirt bike competition, over my backyard fence, the neighbors could complain about your approval to the Planning Commission, correct? So let me just make sure everybody understands the distinction between an AUP and a CUP.
And there's one more thing that I would like to mention with that. On occasion, when there's a very significant topic for an AUP that generates a lot of public controversy, the director may also refer that to the Planning Commission, bump it up a level.
Got it. And so people understand, I mean, an AUP costs less for an applicant to go through because it's you don't have to generate a report for the Planning Commission.
It does cost less, Jerry.
So we're trying to make it easier where we can. So in that respect, I would just think that a temporary event, maybe an AUP, would be adequate. But we'll leave that for comment time. I just wanted to clarify that. I'm going to go back down this way. Mayor Pro Tem Darras, do you have any questions or comments?
Run through a quick here with just more or less why am I seeing it the way it is? Eating and drinking establishments, you know, we've got allowed in all four districts. Is that typical in an industrial? I mean,
it's always good to have food available everywhere. People are working in industrial zone. Okay. If they decide to open up a pop-up food venue or if there's a permanent food truck parking spot, okay. It's okay.
All right. I mean, I think that's fine. I just didn't. I mean, I'm looking at some of these ones that aren't. Yeah, but okay.
Would Tin City be an example of that? Where essentially you have an industrial area, things happening, but you also have,
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Instructional services not being allowed in the commercial services. What types of things, I mean, give me an example of an instructional service. And it seems that commercial service, that might be someplace where Like, depending on what it is, it could be allowed.
Like mathnasium? You know, mathnasium over in the next to Panda was there?
I think we need to look at that one a little more closely.
Yeah, the intent of that one is kind of tutoring centers, you know, kind of the mathnasiums, the Kumans. It could also be like a driving school. It's really kind of a hybrid kind of service office-y kind of feel that tends to have kind of chunks of people coming and going.
And I mean, and that feels like it's not appropriate in a commercial service area? Is that?
So the commercial service area is not a huge area too. So I think the intent too is to make sure that there's adequate area for the uses like vehicle repair and other things that are really appropriate in those areas. So we don't want to necessarily open the door too wide.
And I'll add to that just a little bit in that, like Genevieve said, those areas are kind of auto service and, you know, tire changing kind of businesses. And if you had a school with some level of classrooms come in that needed some level of quiet and there was some auto use that needed a use permit, they could then sort of challenge that. So we are trying to look for some level of use compatibility to make sure that those service-oriented uses have a place where they can go, where they won't be incompatible with a neighbor.
Well, you bring up a good point. And if, but what if it was an auto mechanic school or something? You know, they're going to want to be in the.
I think that might be, you know, we might be able to look at that differently based on its scope of use and put it into a different definition.
Okay.
Fortunately, we do have a little bit of discretion for very unique uses, which is why we have this large definition list and we can, you know, tweak unique things that come in.
And I think this is going very well. I think you guys have done a great job breaking this down as detailed as it is. The next one I have is on the retail general, 50,000 square feet or less. Now, I mean, I'm trying to think industrial. It would seem to me there's something, I mean, whether it's construction type stuff, whatever, why it's not allowed at all in an industrial area. I know we have very little industrial. You don't want to take it up and stuff like that. But is there any, you know, I wouldn't want to limit something that maybe would be more appropriate out there and not have a space for it or have it wind up being in some place that's less appropriate.
That's a good point. There are other definitions where that would fit. So building materials and hardware sales have its own classification outside of the retail general, and those are allowed in the industrial district. As are contract construction services. Those are also allowed in the industrial district. So really what we're trying not to see there is like a Costco, right? Or like a large format retail taking away the industrial space.
Well, that one does say less than 50,000 square feet, but yeah, I understand that. Okay. And I'm sorry if I missed, because I was reading, if it was discussed on the studio and the creative workshops not being allowed in industrial, because that was mentioned by one of our speakers here. So did we get a...
So what we have is the manufacturing artisan that also allows similar type uses. So that would give an avenue for allowing those types of studios there.
Okay. All right. That's good. And then I have one more. Vehicle service stations not being allowed in industrial. That, I know the service station is like a gas station, but it also, according to the definition, where some work can be done on cars, and it just seems like a gas station, service station, tire changer would be ideal in an industrial area.
An auto mechanic is allowed in those industrial zones, and someone who does transmission repair and those repair services. But I think our definition for a service station is truly a gas station.
Yes.
They may do some light work, but our industrial zone is far off of our sort of, you know, heavy traffic areas. It's out there. So that was the intent there, to leave that out.
Okay, I guess that makes sense, because gas stations today are different than they were when we were kids, when they were actually true service stations.
Now they're just a...
Now it's just gas. And
convenience store.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's all I have right now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Before we move on to Councilmember Peak, I wanted to add a question to the one Mayor Pro Tem Daris brought up regarding why we wouldn't allow large retail. And then you answered that we do, you know, we have this separate category of building materials and hardware sales. What about landscape materials? I think right over here we have 43 Holding next to next to hay and feed, and I go there and get, you know, loads of DG and road base, and they also have the what's left of Moore's Nursery there, selling plants, you know, and that seems very appropriate for an industrial area. I mean, it seems like a decent use. I don't see landscaping materials listed as a separate, you know.
We have two other ones I think that would fit under. We also have farm equipment and supplies. So there's potential for that. But there's also under the horticulture specialties, that's kind of the nurseries and the supplies.
Okay, thank you. So that covers. All right, thank you. Councilmember Peak.
Yeah, just a couple here. Number one, religious facilities. I'm unclear why they would all be CUP in the two zones that I'm allowed to speak about. Why it wouldn't just be AUP?
So we have there is RLUIPLA, the Religious Land Use Act, a federal act that says you really want to treat them the same. We also allow, we're even more generous in residential zones than in, so religious facilities are allowed in a lot of residential zones as well. And so again, trying to think about matching how we're treating public assembly with religious assembly. Those weren't allowed uses before. And so we're wanting to be cognizant of not over saturating those types of uses and just making it super easy to go anywhere, but just actually matching how easy it is to go with public assembly in general, and match that, because that's really the type of use it is assembly.
So there's a CUP involved when like a religious facility wants to open in a residential zone?
No, there is. It is an allowed use, I believe. I'll have to pull up those the allowed uses for residential zones.
Yeah, we'll get to that list in a moment. I don't have that one in front of me either for the residential. We
did impose CUPs on religious things, especially on expansions. I mean, many of them in our community existed prior to incorporation. But for example, if somebody, the one up on Portola, wanted to expand, there were conditions on that, and especially if when it comes to religious institutions might use, you know, loudspeakers for outside assemblies. You know, some of them have sporting events, you know, youth basketball, whatever. When those are outside, they might affect the neighbor. So those are maybe not directly their religious, you know, piece of what they do, but you know, those organizations and institutions can have effects on the neighbors. So and I believe we have imposed conditions in some cases.
Yes, they're a significant assembly use. It's not the religious factor. It's right. All the assembly uses have a significant traffic and pedestrian and sound and a significant change to where they're at. And that's the reason they're at that CUP level. What we have done with this new zoning, though, is added them into more districts mm-hmm. than we have today. But we still simply have maintained the requirement for a CUP, which we've had previously.
It just seems like, I'll just move on. It doesn't seem like there's much interest in that one. So in terms of the artisan manufacturing in industrial and commercial service, I'm assuming that would be someone who, and I was, the way I was reading it, and we know we're not talking about definitions, but I'm in favor of having that in every district. So that's the difference between that and a studio craft. The artisan manufacturer can be making it and selling it on site. Like, we'll just use Dale Evers because he's not in the city. I can use him as an example. Like, it was welding sculptures in an industrial zone. People can walk in and buy whatever sculpture that he's got there if he was at a Tascadero. So that satisfies kind of a lot of that. Other thing is the contract services outdoors being CUP for industrial. I'm not really sure why that's the case when we have our industrial areas are so remote. I mean, someone's milling lumber outside of their warehouse, or they're building mobile solar trailers and welding outdoors in those areas. It seems like the perfect place to just have a big old A slapped on that category. So the contract services outdoors seems like we should have less restriction in the industrial zone in terms of who can go there. And then the last one I have is just sales lots for commercial service. I'd like to see that be a CUP. Sales lot. If you want to sell like...
Keep in mind the one you previously mentioned, it only requires a CUP under footnote one where there's a great deal of outside storage.
No, that is outdoor contract construction services. Outdoor is a CUP under industrial.
Well, no, it says A slash CUP.
No, it doesn't. It says CUP right underneath it. Yeah.
Indoor.
Yeah. That's indoor and outdoor would be the slash if that was that one.
Gotcha. Okay.
I just think, that. And then sales lot CUP. I know we have a small for commercial service, and I can't speak to the other two zones. So I just think sales lots, they're not always cars. They could be mowers. They could be trailers. They could be, and we see that in some mixed use. And that was brought up during mixed use, where the mixed use zones have a trailer dealer. They have a mower dealer. They have, in our commercial service now, we have a place like Midcoast Mower and Saw. I'm not sure that's considered a sales lot. I doubt it is, but there are things on the lawn for sale. But so there's businesses along there that could be considered sales lots in the future. And I don't think they have any problem with that.
Okay, very good. Anything else? Okay, we'll save that because we'll discuss that when we come back, for what we actually want to change. Let's open this up to public comment. See if any member of the public would comment. And remember, we're talking about the CS, and which is commercial service, and the I industrial zone. And the allowed uses in those two.
So, thank you again, Council Jeff Hosslin. Clarification in that industrial zones, could you have a veterinarian clinic and could you have a crematory? Just crazy question, because I know we zoned them out of different areas and some areas are still grandfathered in, but just curiosity if, down the line somebody wanted to move there. The other one in the industrial, I just want to make sure, I know it was brought up for food and beverage, but somebody could in that industrial decide to share a space or something with light industrial and then have a backyard with a brewery and nightlife at night or something of that general. Thank you.
Okay, any other speakers on this item? Okay, and if not, seeing none, we'll bring it back to council for discussion. And I would like to clarify in relation to that question, kind of like I said, over in Tin City, you have, which is under the county's jurisdiction in Templeton area, you have some industrial uses, and then you also have, some breweries and with food, et cetera. And in our industrial zone, we would allow that if I read this correctly.
Yes, but yeah. Our commercial innovation or our innovation zone is generally designed for that because it's like sort of the roll-up door zone. So that's what we want to kind of pre-create for that.
Right, understand it. But if somebody in the Sycamore Industrial Park, you wanted to do something like that in one of those spaces,
yes,
that would be an allowed thing.
Yes, they could do that. Okay. And Mayor, if I can go back a bit on the contract construction services question, I think that
yes,
Councilman Peek had on that. That land use, a contract construction services, the definition of that one is simply an outdoor storage yard where there's pipes, piles of gravel, piles of soil, a series of trucks, backhoes. We've had huge storage yards set up for that particular land use. So it's a very, there's no one working there. There's nothing being sold there. It's simply a large outdoor storage yard of materials to be used by a private contractor. That is why it's a CUP. It's generally been a land use that's been very blighting, should I say, challenging to locate. And it needs to have the right setting, surroundings, conditions put to it.
In regard to that comment, though, I mean, we look at something as you described, It doesn't generate a lot of jobs. It doesn't generate any sales tax. You referred to it as blighting. I don't know. I mean, I guess if you had to look at it out your back door, it's not super attractive. But on the other hand, it's the kind of function that has to have a place somewhere in the city because, you know, contractors do have, you know, need a place to store their backhoes and place to pile up, you know, road base, et cetera. And in that sense, you know, it supports jobs because, you know, it enables businesses to do their business elsewhere. So it's one of those things, it doesn't sound very attractive either physically or from a, you know, standpoint and maybe from the city, but it, you know, we have to, all businesses that's, you know, in support other businesses, jobs, et cetera, in our community need some place to go. So, you know, and I think sometimes people forget that. It's like, well, we don't want that. We don't want that. Well, those things have to go somewhere.
Absolutely. They do. And that's why it's there as a use, is there as an allowed use, but still a conditionally allowed use. But again, up to the council. I just wanted to describe our thinking on that and why it ended up as a CUP on there, but happy to take your comments and revise accordingly.
Okay. Thank you. I wanted to go back. Councilmember Peake, were you suggesting specifically that of changing something from CUP to A or CUP to AUP or on that?
On that one specifically, yes.
And that's on the construction services outdoor.
I think I would be okay with it being up to staff to approve it without going to Planning Commission. I just think that when you have something like what you were just discussing, and you bring it to a public meeting where people, you know, there'd be a lot of roadblocks where, you know, it's just if someone wants to use the land the way they want to use it, and then it goes into a public hearing, it just becomes more of a process for someone who just wants to store some rocks and a tractor on their industrial property. I just think it becomes like too much of a process.
Well, yes, although to be clear, an AUP is a public process. You know, I don't think in many of our AUPs held by Mr. Dunsmore are very well attended, but it is a publicly noticed and a publicly open process. It just doesn't involve
the Planning Commission.
Planning Commission and a full-blown staff report to Planning Commission. Therefore, the cost is way less to the applicant. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if the neighbors see the, you know, the yellow card posted there, they go, huh, storage yard. Mm-hmm. You know, they're free to come to Mr. Dunsmore's hearing and, you know, say, I don't want that out in my backyard or what have you.
Okay, well, then I would like to change my opinion to full A on that then, because I was under the impression that it was Planning Commission's public hearing, anything less than that was not. So that just shows my ignorance on it.
Okay, thank you. Any other specific suggestions from council members on something they want to see changed in the CS or I tables? Councilmember Funk.
Yeah, I think pretty much all the ones I asked about, I'd like to see caretaker's unit drop to an AUP. I'm comfortable with a change that Councilmember Peake has requested on contract construction services, although I'd also be comfortable if it's an AUP. We don't have daycares are fine. On horticultural specialties, I'd suggest in the industrial area that be an AUP. That's your landscaping materials sales yard.
It's an A.
A or a CUP, depending. A CUP, depending. A or an AUP.
Okay, so gotcha.
Rather than A or a CUP.
A or AUP.
You know, if it's a really big outdoor storage, let them go to staff and get, you know, get some guidance on it, but let's keep it simple. The laundromats, I would like to change them in the relevant zones that we can discuss right now to from CUP to AUP. If people got to wash their clothes. I would like to see studio and creative workshop be allowed in the as an A use in the industrial zone, and people can. Studio/creative workshop. I know that there's some overlap with the manufacturing process, but I still think the point is well taken that we need to keep. We have some of these industrial spaces that are smaller in their own traffic way. They're, you know, going to be suitable for an artist or a small group of artists, and you know, we need to get those guys a decent break, and that there's no problem with it that I see. I don't think that we're going to have a large art colony taking over the, you know, the back 40 of hay and feed. So we're good. The tattoo and body piercing services are requiring an AUP right now. I can't imagine why you need an AUP for that in the industrial zone if somebody wants to put their body piercing there. Or you know, frankly, in the in industrial, see, in the flex zone, either one. We're not discussing right now, but I'll come back to that.
You're suggesting that, that those AUPs become
A instead of AUP, yeah. On temporary events, I propose that be those be either A or AUP as opposed to A or CUP, because the larger events, the reasons that the staff explained that we would want to have a CUP are about technical challenges in traffic and restoration and all that stuff. And why are we going to give that to the Planning Commission? Let's let staff handle it.
Okay, go ahead.
If I could make one clarifying point about the AUP process, back in February when we talked about presenting a slight change to that, while today it is a public meeting, we did present back in February that when you see the final draft, a proposal that the AUP process would change a little bit so that when staff does their review, they would send out a notice and we would only hold the hearing if it's requested by the notified parties or by somebody, member of the public. So it's likely that those meetings will shrink moving forward in an attempt just to streamline the process.
Understood. I recall the discussion now that you mentioned it, but I mean, the key part of that being that, you know, neighbors will still be notified. There'll still be a physical notification at the site.
Correct.
So, we're just not going to hold hearings that nobody shows up to. We're going to hold a hearing. So the notices will say, if you desire a hearing, contact community development.
Correct.
Right. So I think, I mean, that is, I'm glad you pointed out that change, but I think it still gives the public the opportunity to comment. So thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Daris.
Thank you. On the horticulture specialties, you know, obviously I'm reading this in ornamental plants, so that means flowers, house plants, and whatnot. And it occurred to me, I'm not sure where in this, under what definition would cannabis fall? And how does that, I'm not sure if I know where that's at.
Well, I asked this question earlier, and I think the answer is because we don't currently allow it, it's simply not included in there. If we ever chose to allow it, we'd have to put it somewhere.
Well,
is that
we fair? I mean, we've got some, don't we have some things in here that we just simply show no? I don't know if there's anything in here that has not allowed across all four, but isn't that
we have a separate section on cannabis right now. We do allow for a testing lab with a use permit, and I think we allow for non-storefront delivery services, and they're in a different chapter than these guys. So
okay.
That's not on discussion tonight.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Good question then. Okay. So I don't have anything to add with my colleagues talked about. I would comment on a few of them and ask, did staff capture all of those suggestions as we went along?
Thank you. Yes.
I'm going to go back. Councilmember Peek, I did want to comment. I feel good about those changes, and especially where we're changing a CUP to an AUP, and again, not personally a fan of tattoos, but I think they should be allowed. People like them, you know, people